Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Uh-oh, the polar ice caps are melting. They're melting! Wait a minute, it's not on Earth, it's on Mars! Polar ice caps on Mars are melting. We'll have to talk about that in a moment. Greetings to the brightest audience. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and it's an honor to be here and talk with you today. There's so much news that we would love to share. There was a great rally in Denver. Rallies all over the country on Friday at the Capitol in Denver at noon, and I had the honor of speaking there. It was emceed by Greg Jackson. A wonderful time was had by all. On Saturday, I was a delegate at the Jefferson County Republican Assembly, and that was fun. Got to talk to some folks about pot. Those Republicans who were toying with the idea of legalizing pot, marijuana, I asked them, do you think that the more people who smoke pot, the more likely they will be to vote for Democrats? And they said, well, that's undoubtedly true. So I said, would you reconsider your support for legalizing pot? And they said, yes, thank you for that insight. That was fun. The Hunger Games, I want to talk about that book that's apparently a phenomenon among teenage girls and breaking box office records right now. And I'd like to compare that to the movie Gladiator and to St. Augustine, a book he wrote called Confessions. He had a lot of confessions, believe me. And some of them he included as bragging, and he should have been confessing. But he made a confession about the Gladiator games and watching people being killed, torn apart by lions, being killed by one another, and what a lust and what an addiction that was, that he had a very difficult time getting over. We want to talk about that. And also the case in New York where transgendered people, apparently now, they're going to be able to change their gender on their birth certificates. Now that's a new one, huh? There's a recent ruling in favor of a transgendered man. I guess that means a woman. I'm not sure, actually. In favor of something. There was a ruling in favor of something. And the ruling ordered the Health Department of New York City to reevaluate a request to change a birth certificate. So then this guy, I guess, would have a birth certificate saying he was born a woman, or this woman would have, whatever, it'd just be another clerical error. That's all it would be. And it's as irrational as science fiction obsession with time travel. You can't change the past. God doesn't change the past. God does not change the past. Jesus said if there were any way to avoid this, then that is what he'd prefer. But if not, he said to his Father, thy will be done, not mine, but thy. He willingly submitted himself to his Father. So if God could change the past, then it would be really easy for Jesus not to go to the cross to save those whom he loved. It'd be easy, just change the past. Just make them not sin. Just make Adam and Eve, just erase them, expunge them, start over. But you can't change the past. Not even God can change the past. All right, and then Tim Tebow has his first press conference in New York as the Jets' backup quarterback. This is reported by CBS TV in New York. Of course, it's all over the internet. And Tebow, he was speaking about the Jets starting quarterback, Mark Sanchez. And he said, Mark and I have had a great relationship, and we have had this for the last 3 years. We've texted back and forth. We've talked already, and we're going to have a great relationship and a great working relationship. I think we'll have a lot of fun together. Now, the New York sports reporters, they can't quite comprehend how a backup quarterback could have a good attitude about and a good relationship and have fun with the starting quarterback. That confuses them a little bit. But then also asking Tim Tebow about his faith, he says, I'm someone who is very outspoken about my faith, and I've never been ashamed of it. And always, anytime I get the opportunity, I always thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's going to be fun to see how New York City handles Tim Tebow. That's going to be fun. And whether or not New York will change Tim Tebow or whether Tim Tebow will change New York, I'm eager to see that. And I hope and pray it's the latter. I won't pray to change the past. I'm not going to pray that John Elway would not trade away Tim Tebow. I'm not going to pray that. That would be a foolish prayer, right? God could get discouraged if we pray foolish prayers. All right, so now, the Hunger Games. I hadn't heard of the Hunger Games till a week ago. Had no idea there was such a book that was a phenomenon among teenage girls. And I guess some boys read it also. If there is a redeeming virtue, apparently, in this story, it's that while this post-apocalyptic world government requires each state to offer up 2 children, and then you'll have 20-some children fight to the death to kill each other until only one remains, and then that's the story. Well, if there's any redeeming value, the boy and the girl who end up remaining and not being killed, they didn't really want to kill anybody else. So that's the redeeming value, I guess. That they really didn't want to kill anybody else. Therefore, you watch this movie where kids end up killing one another, but the hero in the movie, the boy, was nice because he didn't really want to kill any of the other kids, and neither did the girl. And so instead of one surviving, apparently 2 survived. Okay, so that's the story. Now, Gladiator, it was a box office phenomenon, and Gladiator is apparently the story of slaves, gladiators, who are trained to fight and kill, and some of them don't want to be there. They don't want to kill the innocent, but they end up in the situation where it's self-defense, and they have to kill somebody else to survive. And so one great gladiator gets so much power and influence, he's able to manipulate even the emperor, even Caesar. And he becomes stronger than Caesar. And that's a familiar theme, the bridge over the river Kwai. Remember, there was a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and the Brits and the Americans had to build a bridge. And you have the camp director, this cruel Japanese camp director. And then you had a British officer, and he's in the hole. He's in the hole. He's in this small box in the ground, baking in the sun. And who has more power, the camp commander or the officer who's the prisoner who's in the hole? Well, the prisoner had more power. So that's somewhat of a recurring theme in literature. And as I pointed out when the movie Gladiator was popular, I think the same is true now with The Hunger Games. It's simply not sufficiently redeeming to make the movie morally acceptable, morally worthwhile, the fact that when some gladiators are killing others, they don't really want to kill the others, and so therefore it's supposed to be a good movie. But here's what happens, and if you read St. Augustine's Confessions, you'll maybe get more of an insight into this. He would go to the gladiator games in reality, and he would watch human beings kill one another. He would watch animals tear apart human beings, and he described the cheers of the audience. the Colosseum in Rome, if you've been there, I've been there, it holds, what, 30,000 people or so? So you could imagine 30,000 people screaming and cheering as human beings are being slaughtered. When you're not one of them, it's hard to imagine what has to happen in your psyche, in your mind, your heart, or your soul to where you'd get to that point. But it's obvious, given the human condition, that the majority can get to that point with very little conditioning. We could all get there to where we're cheering for the killing of innocent human beings and their dismemberment and being torn apart by wild beasts. When we had our Bible tour of Greece, we went to Philippi and we saw where the Christians would refuse in the agora, in the town square, to offer incense to the Roman cult, the imperial cult. A Christian who would not offer incense at the altar, at the fire that was burning for Caesar, if he would not worship Caesar, then he'd be sentenced to death. And he'd be put in prison, as Paul was put in prison there. Then he would be brought to the Roman theater. And just recently, archaeologists found the trap door at the Roman theater. And beneath that door, they had chambers and hallways, tunnels where they'd bring the lions to spring up on a Christian in the theater, on the stage, and kill the Christian for not worshiping Caesar in the Roman cult. This is all real. And Augustine describes the lust that grew in his own heart to where he had an addiction. He couldn't get himself to stop going to see these games. So he finally made a pledge, a commitment. I will not, never again, he wrote, he made a pledge, never again will I set my eyes on this tragedy, on this inhumanity where people are killing one another for sport. Never again will I set my eyes on it. So that weekend, what happens? His friends are going to the Colosseum. They're going to the games. And they're going to watch the gladiators kill one another. Animals tear people apart. And he said, no, I promised myself I would never again set my eyes. So his friend says, all right, well, come anyway. Just keep your eyes closed. So he went. He went. And he was going to keep his eyes closed, he told himself. And as the cheers and the shrieks reached such a pitch, a fervored pitch, he couldn't control himself. Well, he could, but he didn't. And he opened his eyes and he enjoyed the games. That's the lust for the killing of the innocent that is not very deep beneath the psyche of a human being. Because we're fallen, our flesh has, even for a Christian, our flesh has not been redeemed, and we have a tendency to give in to temptation because we're pulled, like gravity, pulling on our physical bodies toward the center of the earth. We are pulled toward hell itself. In Gladiator, the end of the movie doesn't make up for the audience really cheering for a couple hours for the good gladiators to kill the bad gladiators. The audience, I submit, is participating in the bloodlust that the actual Romans were enjoying 2,000 years ago. Oh, sure, it's leading up to a good conclusion. Sure, it's leading up to a good conclusion where the guy who's a gladiator against his wishes gets to have some kind of a victory over the powers that be. But I submit that in the process, the modern American audience sitting in a theater with surround sound and all that 5.1 whatever, HD whatever, that they're actually participating in the same lust for the killing of the innocent that happened with real blood 2,000 years ago. And apparently the same thing happens with the Hunger Games, although I don't know. There's no nudity in the movie, apparently. There's no sexual morality. There's no profanity. So I don't think it's you know, it certainly I could go and check it out for myself, but I don't see that there's a need for it because it seems obvious that it's the same thing, that you got the hero and the heroine with 20 other kids, and those kids weren't there by choice either, most likely, and everybody's going to end up dead. And as some of these kids are being killed, apparently by the heroes, you're still going to cheer that some of the kids are killed. And so I think it's, as with most of what Hollywood serves up, it doesn't have a redeeming quality to it. That's my take on it. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we make an effort to be consistent and apply biblical principles to current events, biblical truth, to our understanding of the world around us. And by the way, thank you. We have surpassed our telethon goal of $30,000. So the telethon is over. I'm so thankful. Thank you, everyone who gave. It was an extraordinary outpouring of love and support. Thank you. Our telethon has been completed, and Lord willing, we'll continue to produce programs and reach more and more people with a Christian worldview. Then let's go to this story out from Syracuse University in New York. This continues the whole saga of the global warming controversy, but this on the side of sanity. And it turns out that a team of scientists led by a geochemist at Syracuse has found that the warming period of about 1,000 years ago was not confined to just Europe, but it was global. It was worldwide, and that it extended all the way down to Antarctica. And if that's true, that means, lo and behold, global warming is a result of the sun. Now, I know that if you say that in mixed company today, that the sun is the cause of global warming, you're considered an extremist, fringe, a lunatic, dangerous. But lo and behold, global warming is caused by the sun. And long before there was a single SUV on the planet, there was a period of global warming on Earth about 1,000 years ago, down to as recently as 500 years ago. We've reported on such things for 20 years here at Bob and Yurt Live. In fact, there are, as of 2012, on Mars, there are only a couple SUVs on the entire planet of Mars. Only a couple. There's about two. Are they sending another one? I think the fleet is going to increase by 50%. So there's two SUVs on Mars, but Mars has a problem with global warming. NASA has reported the melting of the polar ice cap on Mars. What's with that? How could that be? That's because the sun, ever so slightly, increased its energy output. Thank the Lord that he didn't put the Earth around some other star, because other stars are not wonderfully moderate and controlled, regulated in their energy output, as is the sun. And we'd be freezing or baking if we were around another star, but we're around our star. Thank you, Lord, for your loving provision for us. Now, let's go to the phones. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, E-N-Y-A-R-T. That's 1-800-836-9278 in Arvada, Colorado. Mike, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. Hey, I want to make a comment about the movie Hunger Games.
Yeah.
In relation to another movie that's out.
All right.
I don't think this is could be considered a redeeming quality for Hunger Games, but it could be some good that may come from the evil of that, and that is another movie out called October Baby.
Oh.
Out now, was released this weekend here. And
so that's a brand new, you know, that's just released, but if I recall, my wife, Cheryl, saw that movie in Mississippi during the election.
Right. It was released, and one of the purposes, I think, was to correspond with the personhood movement there.
Oh, wow.
And I think it could be just as valuable here. An incredible pro-life movie with some really good messages. But the point being, one of the points anyway, is all these, I guess, Hunger Games, I'd never heard of it either, but I guess it's appealing to young girls, teenage girls and such. So there'll be plenty of them who will see this poster for October Baby and hopefully go to see that. And
because it's in the theaters at the same time.
Right, right. Yeah, they're up against the juggernaut, but...
Well, hey, let me ask you, Mike. So the movie has a good message. How is it Christians have a difficult time matching Hollywood's money, the budgets they have for films? Christian films are not always as, well, they don't always have as high a production value as Hollywood's films.
Or quality. I think, and I agree with you, and I've seen that before. And usually as Christians, we have to kind of look past that. But this one, I think, was so well done. It was Hollywood quality. Mm. I was so surprised at the acting, the level of acting. John Schneider, I don't recall what he was in. He was in some TV show, I think, years ago. I was blown away that he did such a great job. Very moving, well written. I mean, there were a couple of points probably that you could debate regarding the criminal versus the crime and certain aspects of forgiveness. But all in all, it told a beautiful story, and
I think really
shed a light on one aspect of abortion that people need to see.
Wow! And so, of course, not only will going to see this movie encourage us and whoever we might bring along. Oh, by the way, Snyder was in the Dukes of Hazzard.
That's the one. Yeah. Now, who would have thought?
Now, that's one of those new network shows, Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, I don't know. I think my grandpa used to talk about it.
My producers tell me that's an old show. I never saw that show, but I guess it was a funny weekly sitcom of sorts. So,
evidently.
Mike, this is a trend that's exciting. These Christian pro-family movies like Facing the Giants and Fireproof, and what was the latest one with the cops? Just a great movie. Alleged, the movie about the Scopes monkey trial.
Right. And Courageous is the one you were thinking of with the
Courageous.
Cops.
What a
that
great...
That was very well done as well.
Yeah, very high production value. And Alleged.
Right.
With all these leading Hollywood actors like Colm Meaney from Star Trek and Brian Dennehy from Rambo and Fred Thompson from, I don't know, all kinds of movies. And he's also been a U.S. senator and a gal from The Help, Ashley Johnson. And really a powerful cast making a movie about an icon of evolution, the Scopes Monkey Trial, presenting the Christian creationist perspective. A new day has dawned in movies.
Well, let's hope the trend continues and just gets stronger, picks up momentum here.
All right, and that'll only happen, of course, if we support these movies. So I'm going to go out, Mike. Thanks for recommending it. I'll get to see it with my wife. She saw it when she went down for the campaign in Mississippi for personhood. You think we could take our kids?
I think so. I mean, up to... you know, an age. I mean, it does deal with, you know, with hard emotional feelings and such, and some there's some alcohol abuse portrayed somewhat, but you know, no nudity. In fact, there was respect shown. I mean, I didn't agree with the arrangements maybe with these teenagers sharing hotel rooms, but they respected each other in the movie and didn't abuse that.
Well, you don't mean that they had a guy and a girl sharing the same hotel room?
They did.
Oh.
Yeah, they were short of money, but they ended up... they ended up in the lobby because they didn't want to be tempted and stuff. You know, you've got those issues that you're still going to have to deal with, sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Thank you, Mike, so much. I appreciate
that. Take care.
Of course, that would be a horrendous thing to do for adults to permit an unmarried guy and gal to share a room together. And those who do, you know, people will go on a trip together. they'll go on a cruise and they'll say if they have any kind of a pretense of Christian morals, and they'll say, well, we didn't do anything. And that's about, you know, then you're talking to some of the stupidest people on the planet because they think that you actually believe them. Like, we don't do anything. I've heard it even in the last week, a family that let their teenage girl have her boyfriend sleep over and they stayed in her room. She's like 14 or 15. And they said, but they don't do anything. I mean, these parents, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And so I'm glad Mike let me know that. I definitely want to see the movie with my wife, but I would like to check that part out before deciding that our teenage boys, well, we have 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 10-year-old, before deciding whether or not to take them, that might be enough to for us to decide not to take the kids. I want to understand that a bit better. All right, the rally on Friday was a great success. It was sponsored by Colorado Right to Life and Personhood Colorado. Virtually every speaker, there were about a dozen speakers, almost everyone promoted personhood, almost all of them. Senator Kevin Lundberg did a great job explaining that the arguments against personhood are not valid. He did a great job with that. And also, of course, the purpose of the rally was to stand up against Obamacare and forcing churches to provide abortion drugs and all. And it was pointed out forcefully that Mitt Romney had hit the trifecta in Massachusetts, that he did everything that the speakers were speaking against, that he instituted homosexual marriage, paid for tax-funded abortion on demand, and ordered Catholic hospitals to administer the abortion drug Plan B, the morning after pill. He did it all, the trifecta. He hit it all. And so it was quite a rally, well attended. And hey, God bless you guys. Looking forward to tomorrow's show, a dramatic development in federal court.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.